Hello foodies and welcome to Footin Review, the daily FIFA podcast bringing you player reviews, content discussion and gameplay tips. We can be found on our podcast service every day at 2200 Central European Time. We can be found on Twitter at Footin Review and we're live with our Patreon, which is patreon.com/footinreview. And today we'd like to welcome Chris M to the podcast. I can't say back names, I was thinking, how do I say this one? Today is August 4th and we are recording episode 108. My name is John, also known as Food Coaching, and today I'm joined by Yngvi.
Hello.
Hello, my friend. It's good to have you back home.
Good to be back.
Awesome. We had some homework for today.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of pitch notes.
Yeah, a few lines. There were a few sentences about some new stuff, I guess.
Yeah. So that's something we're definitely going to talk about in this show. But we do have a new SBC today as well. We got the gameplay trailer, which this time we won't run. Basically because there's music in it and we might get copyright claimed. And we will take the next 2 or 3 days, depending how much content we get, to walk you through and discuss these new patch notes and these new features. Because we don't want to spend an hour at a time discussing it. And that way, if you have any questions, if you're listening to the show or feedback concerning these notes, just let us know and we'll talk about that as well. Yngvi, can you take us through today's content?
Yep. It's going to be pretty quick. We got one SBC. That was the 89 plus double upgrade, unfortunately not repeatable, but maybe just as well because it costs around 240-245k to do, so it's not on the cheap side. The requirements are you need a minimum 87 rated squad and minimum 60 team chemistry, so it's not the easiest to do, but it's not the worst, but still it's quite a lot higher than I thought it would be, since we had a 90 plus team of the season so far guaranteed that cost an 82 rated squad to do. And now we get, of course there are 2 players, so and you can get lucky, but maybe an 85 rated would have been a little bit more sensible, I think, but of course it's end of the game, and if people have their team set, then maybe just
yeah. This is a typical one of their. You have a chance of expecting something great, so let's make it expensive.
Yeah, if you pack the team of the year, Messi, Ronaldo, or Van Dijk, or players like that, then of course that's a great value for if you do the 87 rated squad, of course.
Can you imagine doing that, packing one of these guys?
No, I can't, because I haven't packed anything good in ages.
You gotta have some luck. Did you do it?
Not yet. I will probably do it, and I'll hopefully not regret it afterwards.
Well, you can do it. Well, I'll talk you through the pitch notes, and then maybe we can open it on the show.
Suddenly, Ingrid disappears, loses connection. It's like...
Yeah, or we just hear you crying out loud from this insane pool you had. It's either one or the other, right? But it's good. It's going to be fun. You'll be all right, though.
Usable player would be nice, though.
Definitely. Talk about usable player. Shall I just say here as well what I packed?
Say who you packed?
Who yeah. I packed, yeah. I packed Virgil van Dijk, the 1919 of the year version. The one card I was looking forward to using all year, but I was just unable to afford, couldn't get him in. And you know what? They want to know the most hilarious part of it.
Sure, go for it.
I had team of the season Robertson packed last week from the guaranteed one.
Yeah, the Andy Robertson. Yeah.
Yes, of Andy Robertson, and I thought, oh, that's awesome. Now I can link him, but I actually used the Robertson card to doing this SBC.
Yeah, but you'll be able to afford him, I guess, on Thursday, so
Yeah, when we watch it, I'll be all right. But still, I was like, oh, why?
Should have used another one.
Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to actually using him still for a couple of weeks though.
Yeah, I tried the lone one in the friendlies for the objectives for the pack. Of course, I have the birthday Van Dyke. Quite a big of a difference in those cards, actually. Felt much better the Team of the Year one, of course. So.
And the birthday is pretty good, but on.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but of course it's a different gravy with the Team of the Year one.
Yeah, but some of them stats are like 15 difference or something. So. Yeah.
He should have fun, and he should be. I think he should be improving your team.
Yeah, I think Militao is gone now for sure. Longley did very well the weekend, so did Semedo. But Semedo's just going to move to the fullback position, then I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
He'll be fine there.
Yeah.
both of them actually will be fine, so. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's
almost. Oh, well, yeah, it is an expensive SBC, but I think it could be worth it, so. I mean, there's no harm to it.
Yeah, if you hit one of the good guys, doesn't have to be the most expensive ones. I would be happy to pack Atal, for example. He's not that expensive, but he's very usable, even though he's difficult to link. But as a sub, he can play pretty much all over the pitch. So, of course, there's a lot of usable players you can pack. The Lala card as right back is good. But of course, if you get the big guys, then I wouldn't mind a Messi, for example. That would be really nice.
Let's go do it, then we'll have him on the show. We got pitch notes. We got the trailer. We got pitch notes. All about gameplay, V. And I think Goron is one of the guys who who helped write these pitch notes, and they are very extensive. There's a joke going on that it's more than 6,000 characters, which it actually is. But I think, without going to more details now, this one is very well built up, very detailed, with lots of graphics, explanations, going into statistics. This is, well, we had the good pitch notes on the service last week, and I think this is another one of these examples. What do you think?
Awesome. Very good, and lots of explanation about how things work and what they want to improve compared to what's been going on in FIFA 20. So player switching, just to mention one thing that I have been very annoyed with, player switching, because that's been a lottery some of the times, and very, very annoying. Looks like they're trying to fix that one now. It's been annoying for a few years now, so I really hope that that's something I can get right now. Then that would help a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. They are the pitch notes are built into futures. There's a part about giving players more control and a part about general improvement and community-based feedback. I was thinking maybe just cut them in three. Start with the futures, which is also the longest one for today's podcast, and then do the other way to overcome 2 days.
Sure, you can just knock yourself out.
Awesome. I won't go reading everything. You can all read it on the forums. You can read it on the website. And if you go to Twitter, you can find it as well. If you can't find it, give us a note at Food and Review, and we'll gladly link it for you as well. It's a good, extensive read. But I think the most important thing that's mentioned right away is called player personality. And they say that one of the goals is to ensure that the world-class players can perform as effectively as their real-life counterparts, showcasing the personality of players who are talented in multiple areas and shine brightly in the world's game. Basically, get Kroos and Busquets usable. I'll just translate it. To achieve that, they are increasing the numbers of attributes that are used to decide each action's quality, animation speed, and effectiveness. And this is a seriously interesting one if you know the mechanics of this game. Because, for example, in the past, a true pass used a short or long pass attribute to determine quality. But in FIFA 21, a true pass is a mix of short and long passing, vision, and even composure attributes. And this change will allow them to make player personalities to the next level, and you will see this term used as they highlight spots where this concept will have an impact in FIFA 21. So player personality, for example, passing is every action is built out of more stats. Is this a good thing if we know or yes?
All depends on how it plays out in gameplay.
Sure, like Busquets, that goes for every stats.
If players like Busquets or Kroos, if maybe the animations will be quicker since they're like very skilled, but maybe not the quickest with their, you know, running, sprinting. But maybe their animations to get control of the ball and then play a good pass. If those animations are quick, then of course it's going to be more usable. But if it's still going to be like pace is king, then of course they won't be usable at all.
Yeah, I think so. It's I get what you're saying. I think we have to see, of course, but I think it's a good thing that they use more stats for attributes for players. That way, a player with, for example, high vision and high composure, but without speed, is still able to make those insane through balls, which might make them viable, which, of course, you have to see in practice. But I think this is all a good thing and makes players more valuable, can go more interesting in building squads. So we'll have to see. But I think it's a good change because now you have more options to boost different things. And also chemistry, applying chemistry is going to be much more interesting. For example, I think a Maestro could do wonders for some cards if this actually works.
Yep, that's true. That's what I'm hoping, that that you don't have to rely that much on pace. That would be awesome. That is, if slower players can be more usable in the beginning, at least. Like maybe Fabinho, Kroos, players like that. Maybe not the fastest, but when they have the ball in their feet, then of course it's gonna show much better how much better they actually perform in the game. That's what I'm hoping for, at least.
Yeah, no, well, let's start. But so far, I think this is a positive change. The second change they made is called agile dribbling. Of course, they say it's inspired by the best dribblers in real life. But basically, what it is, they are trying to make dribbling a balanced matchup for the jockey mechanic. So the intention is to design a dribbling system that's more explosive, agile and fluid, while still ensuring it remains similar to what's been seen on the real life pitch. How to perform agile dribbling? Basically hold R1 or RB while moving the left stick. Anyone notice the dribbler moving the ball with rapid and precise touches. And this part is going to be interesting because every player in the game can agile dribble. However, the higher a player's dribble, agility, reaction and ball control attributes, the quicker, more precise and better they will be at keeping the ball at their feet. And we're also introducing contextual agile dribbling. And this mechanic is optional, but it's enabled by default. When enabled, it will make the players automatically perform agile dribbles in certain situations. For example, when in a 1v1 situation against an opponent. And this mechanic can, of course, be turned off in the controller settings. And to achieve a more dynamic dribble, regardless of the techniques you are using, we also improved player agility animation transitions when performing left stick dribbling and strafe dribbling. That's the crab walk, so to speak. Yngwie, your thoughts on agile and contextual agile dribbling?
Could be good, but it also could be like a crab walk return from FIFA, which was 17. Not that fun. Yeah, FIFA 17. But it seems like you can do more chained skill moves now in a row before like the ball will go far away like it does now after just a few. So you can hopefully do a lot of cool dribbles and skill moves in a chain to get past the defenders, which I think would be really cool. But we'll see how it pans out. I just hope that there's not going to be like you can do 50 dragbacks and the players just kind of float away like they do now. That's really annoying. So, but I really like that they want to get dribbling and skill moves a little bit more available now and usable actually. So I hope it, they would find the right balance.
Yeah, I think it's all about balance. What you say is very correct. Again, I like that that dribbling, agility, reactions, and ball control attributes to how these players work. And I can definitely see some players who are now not really usable, like a Salah, for example, being very much able to actually do some dribbles from the flank, cut in, and shoot. Because he has high dribbling, agility, reactions, and ball control, but not per definition the best speed. Or as a weak foot, for example. I think, again, might make players more interesting to use. It does read that this might be, this feels like something that's that could be abused. Let's put it like that. And of course, haven't seen anything yet from it. But it looks very fast, and I'm curious how good it actually is. But the intentions are there, and I can definitely agree on the intentions. Let's put it that way. Then, for me, Ingvi, this is going to be the most interesting. It is called Creative Runs. And they want to have, want to make sure we can have more control on our attacking AI players. And there are, they have added some new options. Well, the first option is called Direct Runs, where you can take full 360 degrees control over the direction of the runs of your teammate. You flick the right stick after triggering a run. And basically, if you don't know how to trigger a run, this goes in all FIFAs, also in FIFA 20, if you click L1 or LB, the player makes a long run, and that's the player you're looking at. And if you want to get them coming running towards you, you click the RB or the R1 button. That's always been in the game, or at least for the last 5 years or something. And it's easy to remember. R, the R1 for return to me, and the L for a long run. And in this game, you can actually do the trigger the run and then flick your right stick to the position where you want your players to actually move into. So you're not only triggering a run, but you're pointing them towards a certain area. And now if you trigger the run, they just follow the line you were looking at. I think this is, this might be very promising for the game. I am just wondering how selective it is with selecting the right player to do that run. And I'm wondering if this increases the skill gap to a huge amount where us, the somewhat older FIFA players, won't be able to cope with it anymore. But that could be me. What are your thoughts, Ingvi, about directed runs?
Yeah, I need to try it out, I think, because I'm a little bit skeptical how it's going to work. If it's going to be too much to think about when you run in attack, it might be, if it's easy to control and use, then of course it's going to be interesting, because then it's going to be easier, hopefully, to open up tighter defenses. But it could also be a lot of chaos and using too much time, and you'll lose the ball before you even get to pass the ball and things like that. So it also depends on how the gameplay is online, because if there's delay and stuff, then it's gonna maybe look a little bit strange what you're trying to do. So you need to test it and see how it works. I think it could be interesting, but I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I think it, I like it, because at least the idea, of course, because now you can only call a player towards you, and it's always in a straight line. And if you pull a player for a run, that's also always in a straight line. And it's still very strong, because I've noticed with coaching, not many people actually know it. That's how, why I just called it out again on the podcast. But if you can actually move it around, we'll have to see, of course. But it sounds, I think it sounds very promising. And especially for a tactician lunatic like I am, it can open up many, many game style plays. We'll have to see, of course. But it goes for everything here. But I like the thought of it and how that works. I think it's very doable. But you need to focus a bit with the right stick. And it definitely takes up practice. Then the second option is the direct pass and go. And it's the side where your teammate makes their run after a pass by immediately flicking the right stick in the desired direction. And this feature works with any pass, ground pass, low through ball, and even crosses. And they made an example where you just use the normal pass button and flick the right stick. I just have to see how this differs from the first one, if I'm completely honest. Because from a standstill animation, I can't really make, or from a standstill picture, I can't really make out what the main difference is. I don't know if that differs from you, Envy.
No, it's also something that I need to try out. It's going to be difficult to say just now, but I would like the passing to be more like controllable, and the ball actually goes in the direction you want to pass it. And even though if it's kind of assisted, because sometimes when you see a clear opening and you want to maybe go with a through ball, and then suddenly through ball goes totally different direction to a player that's in offside, for example, and that's been really annoying. So passing still could do with a tune-up, so that's that could be good.
Awesome. The last part about the directed run is that you can use maximum of five players performing a directed run or a directed pass and go simultaneously. So that's going to be very Liverpool-y for you, Envy. Just drag everyone out after you got the ball from your defenders. we'll have to see. It sounds promising, but this is definitely something you have to practice. And we'll do a separate podcast on that as well.
Because if five players at the same time goes on a run forward, then if you lose the ball, spend too much time before actually releasing the pass, then you get counter, and there's not going to be many players back.
Yeah, on the other hand, you should be able to pass it. Say you pass it directly right on a straight line, and you can use one player to move that way and move the other, let the other one run in front of the goal already. That's one way I can see this working. So after the player you sent for a pass first gets the ball, the two other guys are in front of the goal for you. So it would be able to make that part a bit more interesting. But we'll have to see. The other thing is player lock, where you press in both sticks at the same time to lock your current player when in attack. And this one is interesting though, because when you're locked to a player and pass the ball, the CPU AI will then take control of the on-ball player, allowing you to move your off-ball player and ask for pass back in a better position. This is basically what happens if you use your right stick from a throw-in. The AI is the player controlling the ball, and you are the player that's actually available for receiving the ball. And this might open up parts, but I can also see many mistakes being made. This could be a skill gap changing. So I'm wondering how that will work. And you can say for more control, you can flick the right stick at any time after using the player lock described above to switch and lock to another player, taking control of your teammates' movement along the way. This is very interesting. This definitely requires practice, and it also says from all these mechanics, there's a limited time window for you to trigger the direction of the run, because of course, if the ball already arrived, it doesn't even matter. In order to prevent conflicts with skill moves, knockoffs, and player switching, the sooner you can perform the right stick flicking, the better chance you have to successfully pull it off. And make sure to practice. I think that goes without saying. They also say to support this new feature, there's a trainer option that shows the path of the AI player run on the pitch. And while up to 5 simultaneous runs can be made, only the last 2 player paths will display on screen. And the option will be enabled by default for everyone and can be disabled. I think, Ingvi, this might be the most interesting part about all these changes. It could be very overpowered and give your defense no chance at all. Or it can be very risky to constantly pull off and be open for counterattacks. And I have no idea, without actually playing it, which way this will work out.
Pressure. If you lose the ball and then the AI has the ball and you're like controlling the one on the run, and if your opponent has high pressure and he wins the ball, and then of course you're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, on the other hand, if he has high pressure, you can actually move away from this defender stepping in and then create space, because you don't have you do select that player now. So instead of taking a sidestep with the player on the ball, which you do now, the receiving player is able to make a much more smarter move. So we'll have to definitely see how that works. It could go either way. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. Let's put that. But it does require quick thinking. It definitely requires practice. But I also very much like the fact that there's something new coming in like this. This might be an actual game changer.
Sounds really fun, though. If it works as advertised and doable,
yeah,
then it could be really cool. So might see some very nice, hopefully different types of goal scored. Not walking down the line and then pass. Yeah, then it's a goal and 15 drag backs and a few fake shots, and yeah, you know what I mean. So it could make the variety of cool goals.
Let's put it this way: if this works, you can make the 4-2-3 viable, which would be first. So, which is something I'm really looking forward to for years now. And if you can actually three runs, then at this case, then you can make the viable. Because you then you have always the options available, so I'm gonna work. We'll have to see, but I'm very happy. I'm also very happy by these examples, and though we've been disappointed before, so I won't be giving it a score or my blessing just yet. But I think the intentions are definitely there, and I think it's very well explained in these notes. So we'll see. The last thing I want to talk about today, if that's all right with you, and then discuss the rest tomorrow, because it's a lot of information. It's called positioning personality. And they are focusing on adding deeper AI player personality in positioning, both offensively and defensively, to ensure that the ability of football creators played on the virtual pitch matches up with their real world counterparts. Basically, they gave some examples for that. And there's two big examples. The main attributes dedicated how good players will be on the behaviors, positioning, or for attacking personality, and defensive awareness for defensive personality. So I'm just going to get those two examples. If you have the attacking positional attribute impact, it basically, a good example is onside and offside runs. Basically, awareness to know when to slow down and when the time to run to perfectly stay onside. And it does say if you use fast build-up or getting behind, this won't work. This will be eliminated. But if you have positioning low, there's a very big chance your player, if he makes a run, will get just keep running and run outside. While if you have positioning high, and they gave a good example of that, you can see the player holding on for a second, maintaining the same line as the back line, and then going for a run, basically staying onside while the pass receiving. This is something that's been bugging me whole year, because if you could time the offside trap well, you could basically put your opponent most of the time offside. But this could be countered by high positioning on the stats. So that's something I thus far really like. How about you?
Yeah, that's been annoying me as well, because players run in straight line and run into offside, and then sometimes they just run and then they kind of stop when they could run into a space where they could maybe just do a 1-2 and then a certain goal, but no, they just stop. So if the intelligent with players do the good runs, and you know, maybe the fast, maybe not so good players, they would run a lot in offside and stuff like that. That would be really cool. But I also think that that might push the prices up on the good players even more than we had this year. And that's gonna be a little bit of a problem to get the good players then. And then you can't like use overpowered cheap ones.
Yeah, but you
so
can.
There's good and bad things with it, of course. So, but I like it that the actual good players will be no, much better than the cheap and not so good players. That's what I always wanted. So players like Hummels, maybe not the quickest, but of course he's going to have really good positioning in defense as well, and be able to stop attacks that way rather than having a very fast player feeling 10 times better than Hummels because he's fast. That's been really annoying as well. So that's hopefully going to help with team building as well.
I think if you look at the attacking one, look at Harry Kane, for example. He's not fast, but his awareness and positioning is very high. He don't need the speed per se because he's a sort of between quotations a smart player who is able to stay on site while making the run, so getting the ball according there. And the same goes for the gift summit assisting. The same goes for passing lane analysis, understanding of space to determine where the next best move to receive the pass is. And the most interesting part of this is if you have an attribute of 85, might feel good, for example. But 90 is significantly better, but 99 exponentially superior. So a small difference in stats might actually make a huge difference on this matter. I think, especially at the start, you don't have to play it. It's going to be very depending on style, right? If you're a counter player, you want this high positioning definitely in. But sometimes finishing is more important, for example. We'll have to see how this exactly works and how much it skills. But it's going to be, I think, I was thinking about this. It's going to be hard for us to review players when they arrive. Because 75 positioning, 75, I don't know, attacking awareness, or whatever the stats are going to be called. We don't know how good or how bad that actually is in game when they start, when this game starts. Which is a difference for us as well.
Keep a review on how they look on paper and then a review how they actually perform in game.
Yeah, we definitely need to play some because especially the start, we don't know. Is 75 I don't know, is 75 attacking awareness enough? I don't know. Or 75 positioning at the start? Or do you need minimum of 90 actually to be able for our play styles? I honestly don't know yet. So the first 2 weeks is going to be very interesting for us to actually be able to know what's going on. I won't go into all these details now. I think tomorrow we're going to talk about the defensive awareness part. But yeah, I think more stats to give more plays is something we've been asking for all year. And I've been saying a lot with PES, they got more stats which make for more interesting and unique players. And this might be it. Might be getting the same effects.
Yeah.
Well, we honestly don't know yet. Tomorrow we'll talk about defending, defensive awareness, also the tackling, the smoother encounters they have. Heading has been changed, which we'll dive into tomorrow as well. And also how you actually use your body in defense. But I think this is a good way to end the first podcast about this. If you have any questions, just let us know as well. We don't know much yet. We don't know if we get access to a beta. I've never had access to a beta, so I'm not quite sure how I'll be able to form my opinion before I actually get my hands on the game. Any closing thoughts you have, Ingvi?
If you get onto the beta, you have to sign an NDA and you won't be able to talk about the gameplay anyway, so...
That's fair, but I'll be able to say if players are good or not good when the game actually arrives.
That's true. No, I don't have any other closing thoughts than that. I just sort of thought about it when you said it.
No, and that's very true, though. But then at least we can say if we feel positive about this, let's put it that way. Ingvi, thank you for tonight. Tomorrow, pleasure. Part 2 of these, and of course with SBC's come. Remember, if you have any questions, remarks, or you see it not as positive as I do, or not as safe as Ingvi does, maybe, because I guess why Ingvi is on the fence, or we miss something, just let us know at Food and Review on Twitter, and we'll get that answered tomorrow as well. But for now, I'm definitely dropping it.
drop it.
Get it.